You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Final hour on this Monday, Dan and the Danettes. Had a lot of fun talking to Nick Faldo last hour. Won the Masters 3 times, the British Open 3 times as well. Your phone calls, as we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend. Pick up your calendar in time for the holidays. Go to danpatrick.com while supplies last. Whilst supplies last with the Dan Patrick Show calendar. Some great stuff in there. Also, some great t-shirts as well available. danpatrick.com, available in time for the holidays. Paulie's got the calendar. Do not open it up. I don't want anybody to know what the pictures are this year. It's a complete surprise.
There's some funny stuff.
Complete surprise this year.
I haven't seen any of them except for the two that I took.
Yeah. I wanted it to be a surprise that way because we would reveal like one a week or one a day. And I just said, nope, let's just make it a complete surprise. If you trust us on this program and you know that we don't cheat you when it comes to the calendar, as plenty of nudity as you've come to expect.
It is the overriding theme.
Yes.
But I'm just peeking.
Why wouldn't you want to have nudity with us? That was rhetorical.
Yeah. I think these are going to sell like hotcakes in prison.
877-3DP show. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Best and worst of the weekend. Paulie didn't get to give us his best and worst of the weekend, so it was a carryover into the final hour.
Dan, for the first time in my history of covering sports, I think that a sporting event is fixed. I watched boxing on the mothership. I watched a lot of boxing, and I was watching boxing on the mothership. And one of the preliminary fights was it was the WBA super flyweight title. So this is a title fight. Australian Andrew Maloney versus a man named Joshua Franco. Franco's eye gets cut late in the first round. His eye blows up. At the end, of the third round, they called the fight. And they said that the fight was no contest, no winner, because Andrew Maloney, the Australian, headbutted, an intentional headbutt that caused the cut on Joshua Franco's eye. Mm. I think it was Tessitore's calling the fight, and he goes, we're going back. And they watched every minute of the fight. The replay took almost 30 minutes. These two guys are sitting there with monitors replaying it. And basically in the time while they're waiting, Joe Tessitore has the guys in back. They reran the entire 3-round fight. They couldn't find any headbutts, much less an intentional headbutt. Mm. And they actually found the punch that caused the eye to blow up of Franco. And Andrew Maloney is sitting there waiting on his stool for the thing. And after 30 minutes of replay, they said, yep, it's still an intentional headbutt. And the guy, Maloney, got screwed out of the title. That was a fixed fight.
Go figure. A fixed fight in boxing. Go figure.
But I've seen one where it's like, okay, well, the judges seem a little sketchy.
Oh, it happens far more than it should.
Right.
Where you go, wait, what fight were you watching? And
I didn't even know they had replay in boxing. This is the first time I knew that they had replay. They went to replay. They looked at it for a half an hour, and they came back and said, yep, we're going to stay with the result. Headbutt.
Okay.
Fascinating.
And your worst?
That was the worst.
Your best?
I got no best.
Oh, wow.
Usually I go positive.
Okay. Bob in Ohio. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind today?
Hey, man. Thank you for having me. You are a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of you, man. Thank you very much. Hey,
I'm a huge fan of you, too, Bob.
Well, here's a shout-out to the late, great Odorous Urungus that you had on the show years and years ago.
Guar.
Hey, best and worst. You ready?
Yes.
The best is, dude, we have football still in COVID with all of the stuff going on. What an amazing time. Football is doing an amazing job of keeping these games on schedule. You know, just to be able to shout out for that is a wonderful thing right now.
Okay.
The worst is I have a 6-year-old son. We live in Dayton, Ohio. He is listening at home right now. Do you know how hard it is to get your kids to watch football when you've got the Bengals to contend with?
Well,
it's horrible, man.
There is red zone, so they can watch other teams. You can watch, you know, Bengals didn't look good yesterday against the Steelers. But maybe don't raise him on the Bengals. Maybe raise him to be a fan of somebody else there. But thank you, Bob. Thank you for calling up. Best and worst of the weekend. You know, the play yesterday, late yesterday afternoon with DeAndre Hopkins was one of those moments where I'm watching it in real time because 60 Minutes is going to come up after that. And I thought, well, let me watch the end of this and then I'll watch a little bit of 60 Minutes there. And, you know, Buffalo goes down, scores the touchdown, Stephon Diggs, and then you go, okay, Buffalo, this is a big win because Miami is winning. You got to stay in front of Miami. And all of a sudden you go, okay, they got a little bit of time left. And, you know, you had this situation where you go, okay, can Kyler Murray make something happen? You're going to have a Hail Murray throw. So he rolls left, which was surprising. And then he has this little fake just to have the defender stop just for a second that allows him a little bit of separation. So you roll left and you throw 50 yards. And, you know, normally you overthrow or underthrow. He threw it into the end zone, middle of the end zone. DeAndre Hopkins went up, got it. And when he puts his hands on it, he doesn't drop a football. And it elicited two incredible calls here. Here is the call as heard on WGR, the Bills radio network.
Snap. Murray pressured. Bills rush four. Murray's in trouble. Gets away from it. Rolls to his left. Fires it downfield. Puts it up for grabs. And it is
caught.
Caught for a touchdown. Unbelievable. Caught by DeAndre Hopkins, surrounded by a couple of Bills defenders. He went up and brought it down. Unbelievable.
All you need to hear is the word caught. It's this big build up and he throws it down and it's caught. And that's it.
Caught.
That's it. Here is a KTAR, the call with the Cardinals radio network.
Murray back to throw, flushed out, rolling left in trouble, slips a tackle, got to launch it. He does. Left side, into the end zone, jump ball, and it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it. He caught it for a touchdown with 1 second left. I can't believe it.
That's Dave Pasch and Ron Wolfley with the call on KTAR. I love this tweet. Patrick Mahomes tweets out, DeAndre Hopkins is a monster, man, exclamation points. And then DeAndre Hopkins tweets back, same to you, bro. Thought I had a ring last year till you hit God mode. That's a great tweet there. Great tweet. Started to look at, you know, where we stand with some of this. The NFC West is awesome. It's great. Three teams are 6-3. Cardinals at Seattle coming up this Thursday. The Rams are at Tampa on Monday night. Seattle plays the Cardinals and Rams down the stretch. Arizona has the Rams twice, Seattle once. Rams at Arizona week 13, finish at Seattle, and then Arizona at home. We got a lot of drama left here. A lot of drama. Also, with the Bills, the costly loss. The Dolphins are 3-0 with Tua. He hasn't thrown an interception. His passer rating is 10 points higher than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Miami is now 6-3, a half game behind Buffalo. The Dolphins are at Denver, at the Jets. They host Cincinnati over the next 3 weeks. There's a scenario where Miami would be 9-3 after 12 games. All right, more phone calls coming up. Best and worst of the weekend. Josh in Michigan. Hi, Josh. What's on your mind? It certainly can't be your college football teams.
Hey, Dan. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Appreciate taking my call. Definitely not rooting for that team up north, even though I live here. But it is a lot of fun. So best of the weekend is my wife's Lions fan. I'm a Browns fan. Both our teams won. Seeing Nick Chubb run out at the one really just made my heart happy knowing that we would win the game. Worst of the weekend is Nick Chubb is my best running back, and I'm going to lose this week's fantasy game by 2 points.
Yeah, but I would rather win a football game or a football bet than a fantasy game. Because I'm sure there are a lot of fantasy owners who are affected by that, but there are a lot of gamblers who were affected by that. The over-under, I think, was 3.5. I think it started out 2.5. I think it went to 3.5 there with the Cleveland Browns. What an ugly game. Like, I should have gotten paid to watch that one. Yeah, Paulie.
I looked up Nick Chubb's contract, and I cannot find anything. He has different bonuses. He does not have a touchdown bonus in his contract.
Okay. by the way, the Patriots picked up the win last night against Baltimore. I know that we pencil in Baltimore and say they're going to be there at the very end, but, you know, I give a whole lot of credit to Bill Belichick and what he was able to do last night. You know, he can game plan. Weather certainly helped that game plan, but here's Bill Belichick on the weather and affecting the outcome.
We've practiced in that during the course of the year and handled the wet ball and all that. So whatever we get, we get. I thought that the hardest part was really the, you know, Jake handling the ball on the punts and the field goals. I mean, those are tough plays. But just in general, you know, David and Cam on the shotgun snaps and the ball handling there, they did a good job on that. Gunner, ball handling there. You know, I saw the Ravens had some trouble with that, but I thought overall we executed those pretty well, which is it's good. That was good.
Here's Cam Newton after the win.
Everything that coaches throughout the week, it tends to come up. And, you know, I'm beginning to think he either has like a Staples easy button or a Buffalo Wild Wings button or just a straight direct line to the football guys, because he's like a football whisperer when it comes to anticipating what the game's going to be like, how we need to win, and things like that. I'm extremely impressed with that.
That's good. That's a good comment from Cam. I was also, I saw this, and I don't know if it surprises anybody. NFL's Ian Rappaport reported the Texans may give the job to Romeo Crennel. Wow. He's the interim coach. He's a longtime defensive coordinator. He's been a head coach in the past. That didn't go well. But he could serve as a stopgap coach, allowing the team to get to 2021 with some stability. He's 73 years of age. Now, this told me a couple of things. They're not getting Eric Bieniemy. And if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I don't want that job. Deshaun Watson has not played well since he got paid. You don't have any draft picks. J.J. Watt will be on another team next year. Salary cap issues. And other than that, I mean, if you want to give it to Romeo Crennel because you're saying, let's try to get a little momentum. So let's try to create an atmosphere, a situation where somebody goes, boy, that would be advantageous to my career to be a head coach there. Imagine saying, yeah, I'd rather not be a head coach if it means I have to be the head coach of the Texans right now. But if you have Romeo Crennel, the job is open. It's just you have somebody who is your head coach. I would just say you're still our interim head coach. Like, I don't want to make him my head coach because I got to see if somebody wants this job. But that was surprising. You know, with COVID, you know, can you have that in-person search is another thing that Ian Rappaport brought up. It's not going to be a traditional coaching search in the offseason if you're going to be able to get in-person, or you're going to have to be Zooming with those coaches there. But I saw that yesterday. I thought that was a little bit surprising. Grant in Tennessee. Hey, Grant, best and worst of the weekend.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Best of the weekend, the Tennessee Volunteers game getting postponed, so we delay another inevitable loss.
I thought this was your guys' year. You brought in all these recruits, and there was momentum there, Grant, and it is not materialized.
It's not easy being a student here, I'll tell you that. Worst of the weekend, having to live with the Tennessee Titans loss on Thursday night. Our defense is atrocious watching it at points. And we had a FedEx delivery man as punter, and I don't even know anymore.
Grant, take the rest of the season off. Grant feels like he's already had a full schedule there. Full schedule. There are 9 teams in the AFC with a record of 6-3 or better. And the way it looks now, at least 2 of those teams will miss the playoffs. Unless the NFL adds that 8th playoff team in each conference. At this moment, Cleveland and Tennessee are not in playoff spots at 6-3. Tennessee struggled. You know, Cleveland, I'm going to give Cleveland credit for the win against the Texans in Houston, because that would be a game that the Browns would lose. And you win those games, you got to win those games. Not pretty. You win 10-7, but you won the game. You're 6-3. You have some momentum here. I don't know how good you are. It's nice to have Nick Chubb back, but at 6-3, you'll take that. Pittsburgh's undefeated. Baltimore's a little bit wounded here. It's going to be tough to make the playoffs, because it feels like one of those 3 teams is not going to make the postseason. Chris in South Carolina. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. First time caller, long time listener, 510-190. I want to say thank you for rocking our Fort Mill Fire Department patch on your show for about 6 weeks earlier this year during COVID. It meant a lot to the firefighters. Best of the weekend, Will Muschamp got fired.
Yeah.
Worst of the weekend is Lane Kiffin throwing his clipboard into the stands twice as they pass for 700 yards on us. And my candidate is Jamie Chadwell. From my alum college, Nord Greenville University, he's current coach at Coastal Carolina. What are your thoughts on him replacing Will Muschamp?
I don't know, but I love Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers. They're a very, very exciting team this year. Did you guys see Lane Kiffin, where he knows it's going to be a touchdown, and he throws his clipboard up in the air? It goes up 30 feet.
It's got to go 30 feet to make the shot, because he's on the near sideline, Dan, where the bottom of the camera shot.
Oh, it was so funny.
The guy's cruising the touchdown. You see this white thing just whoop, 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 whoop.
But he knows it's happening. He sees it happening in real time, and he's running down the sidelines, and then Kiffin just throws that clipboard up in the air. It looked like he was playing jarts or something. Yeah, Paul.
If you watch a play in slow motion, as Lane Kiffin has done before when he was OC at Alabama, as the quarterback is third step into his drop back, Lane puts his hands up to signal touchdown, like, I know what's happening here. Then he starts running. He throws it up. Then the headset goes off. He's fist pumping. It's the best.
Cassidy in Nevada. Hey, Cassidy.
Hey, Dan. 5'6", 124. And my best and worst of the weekend, my best is my Liberty Flame rolling against Western Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
And my worst is no Ohio State football. But I guess as a consolation, I'll take another Michigan loss.
Thank you, Cassidy. Well, people in Ohio are loving this. Loving it. Michigan State, Michigan, not doing well.
Kind of makes me smile for some reason.
Yeah. There's part of me, like, I felt sorry for Jim Harbaugh. When they would show him on the sidelines, it felt like every 5 to 7 minutes they'd show Harbaugh on the sidelines. And it would usually be after another Wisconsin touchdown. But you're looking at him, and he can be a great coach. He's been a great coach. He's been to the Super Bowl. He's turned around programs. I think we all thought that this was a home run. You know, you can go home again. And then if you don't have your quarterback, it's really – look at all these quarterbacks in college football right now. They all complete 80% of their passes. Their touchdown to interception ratio feels like it's 10 to 1. You got to find that guy. And you got to have skilled position players. Michigan's always had skilled position players, except at quarterback. They don't have first-round draft picks. And I did. I felt sorry for Harbaugh because, I mean, we all have egos. We all have pride. You're there. This is your alma mater. Your dad's with you, lives next door. Your family's there. You're back home. This is great. We're gonna do it. We're going to beat Ohio. And then you're like, we can't beat anybody. And you get humbled. It's not like you're losing a close game. You're getting embarrassed. They got Rutgers. Now, normally you'd say, well, they're going to get a win. I don't know. What's the line? Do we have a line on Rutgers against Michigan? And is Indiana a 2-touchdown underdog against Ohio State? Is that what it was, McLovin?
3-touchdown.
3-touchdown.
That's what I read at Cleveland.com.
3-touchdown.
Maybe that was written before the Indiana win this weekend.
Yeah. They look great against Michigan State. Yeah, Paul.
I think one thing, even if you don't like Michigan, you want Harbaugh in college football. I think the casual or the serious college football fans, they want Lane Kiffin in the SEC.
Ohio State wants Jim Harbaugh at Michigan.
They don't want him gone. They'll cover the buyout.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think there's certain characters you want in college football, and you don't want them to go away. Like, I don't want Michigan to get rid of him. Because he's interesting.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin's interesting. Steve Spurrier was fantastic.
Yeah.
These coaches, Mike Leach being in the SEC, it might not be pretty, but it's entertaining.
I don't know how long Mike Leach is going to stay there. Because it feels like, remember they started out like...
They were the story of week one.
Yes. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's questioning who's going to stay, who he wants to stay.
Same with Tennessee. Tennessee was 2-0. And I'm like, oh, look at the Vols are ready to ship. Now they're going to lose out probably.
And all offseason, we're hearing Jeremy Pruitt had done an unbelievable job recruiting. And then you thought, okay, all right, maybe Tennessee's back here. Yes, Fritzy?
I see Michigan as a 9-point favorites over Rutgers, according to Las Vegas Casino's Circa Sports.
All right.
9 points.
9 points. All right. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. We're back after this, 21 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Anthony Davis opted out of his contract with the Lakers. No, it's not breaking news. He's just opting out to make more money to stay with the Lakers. Lakers intend to acquire Dennis Schroeder from Oklahoma City Thunder, and he was really sought after. He was runner-up to sixth man of the year last season, and he's got one more year left on his contract, but he's good. He's a good player. He's only 27. That gives you a little bit of flexibility if you lose Rajon Rondo or Avery Bradley or both in free agency. You got a guy who can start for you. And they'd have to make this trade with Oklahoma City. But I think he would be a great addition for the Lakers here. Dennis Schroeder. Yes, Paul.
And Schroeder's averaging almost 40% from three, which is big.
Yeah. The other topic is certainly James Harden. Is James Harden going to be moved? The ESPN.com report that Harden, I guess, is looking at the Brooklyn Nets as one of his possible trade destinations, according to ESPN. Harden has been increasingly uneasy about the Rockets' ability to compete for an NBA title. Isn't he part of the reason why they've been unable to? Whatever. And he's considering the possibility of pushing to play elsewhere before his contract expires. I guess you can't move Russell Westbrook, but you can James Harden. But what do you get in return? You got Caris LeVert. You got Spencer Dinwiddie. But I don't know how many draft picks you got there that you can give to the Rockets. Yes, McLevin.
Jared Allen, the center. He's kind of juicy.
He's an energy guy. Do we need to have James Harden if you have Kyrie and Kevin Durant? Like, how many is too many? And everybody likes to shoot. Last I looked, those three like to shoot. If I say to everybody okay averaging 22 points a game? Everybody good with that? Now, everybody might start out that way, but... And Harden was there with Kevin Durant, so they know each other, but... I don't know who. If I'm Houston, what am I getting here? If you said I could get Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, or you say I could get Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid, I mean, this is an entertainment business. Your business is the key word there. The Rockets aren't winning anything if James stays or he goes, but what am I getting in return? And can I get something that's younger? And maybe we are a different team because what we did before is not going to work big picture. Great regular season team, fun regular season team, entertaining regular season team, but deeply flawed when they get to the postseason. Yeah, McLevin.
I'm not sure my Nets are confident they'll get a full season out of Durant and Irving. Maybe that's why, because they're injury guys, especially Kyrie. He's always going down.
But if I'm going into this assuming everybody's healthy. Now, you might have limited minutes for Kyrie and or Kevin Durant, but what kind of style are you playing here? I mean, what is the team? Because James is ball dominant. Kyrie can be ball dominant. KD needs his mid-range jumpers. But I don't know. It sounds interesting. It sounds like a mess, but... I don't know. It feels like Philadelphia would be a better spot, a better trade partner with the Rockets. Yes, McLovin.
Are you recreating the Suns of the 90s with the Sean Marion, Stoudemire, Nash? Nash is going to, with Kyrie being Nash.
Yeah, but they're not even close to that ego-wise.
Yeah. Can Kyrie be a little bit Nash-like in that role?
Well, he can ask Nash to help him be like Nash since he's his head coach. But, you know, Sean Marion was not a star. I mean, he was a great player in that system. Amari Stoudemire was a very good player. You're talking about three huge egos here, three huge stars here. This is different. Everybody bought into what Phoenix was doing because Nash was a pass-first point guard. And he had to be even told by Mike D'Antoni, you need to shoot more. Sean Marion, great in transition. Stoudemire, you know, he benefited from having Nash there as his point guard. This is different. These are three huge egos. And if they can pull it off, be fun to watch. But I would think Philadelphia would make more sense. If I'm Philly, I'd rather bring in James Harden and pair him with Ben Simmons. Send Joel Embiid to Houston and then see if I can make something happen there. Because I know Ben Simmons is not going to go, I'm not getting my touches. I'm not getting my shots. Joel Embiid, I'd be worried about that. That Embiid would say, hey, you know what? I want to be averaging 30 points per game. A few more phone calls here. Eric in Georgia. Hi, Eric. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Dan. Thanks for the call. Best and worst of the weekend, but best is the Cowboys did not lose this weekend.
Yep. Yep.
And the worst is they still have a fighting chance. Thanks.
Well, they're thinking, you know, I'm looking at these numbers with the Eagles. The Eagles may win the division, and this is not hyperbole. The Eagles may win the division with five wins. They may be 5-10-1 and win the NFC East and host a playoff game. Then you're going to have this outcry of, you know, if you win the division, you have to have a certain record. You have to have a 500 record or better. You know, people are going to try to troubleshoot this, and you can't. You got to wait till the start of a season. Remember, we had this with Seattle when they beat the Saints. They hosted a playoff game. They were 7-9. You know, people were, you know, outraged by it, but nothing changed. I think you're going to get to a point where we have brackets. I think we're going to get that. I think you're going to get winning percentage. I think you're going to get something. The NFL's toying with something. I can't get it firmed up, but I'm trying through a source to say, see if they could tell me, this is where we're headed with the playoffs with the NFL. They're going to be 8 playoff teams in the AFC and the NFC. And then you're going to have, you know, winning percentage, brackets, and I think the NFL's headed that way. Don't have it confirmed, but it certainly feels like they've already floated it out there. If we have a game or games that are postponed or canceled, then they would add another playoff team in the AFC and the NFC. They're already talking about that. They already added one for this year in both conferences. We're not that far away. George in Ohio. Hi, George. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Best and worst of the weekend. The best is the Browns win. It was an odd ending, but hey, you play to win the game.
Yes, you do. Hello? Yes, you do. Yeah. Yes, you do.
And the worst was, okay, I'm watching the Bills and the Cardinals, and it's under a minute, and my wife says, hey, the SpaceX launch is happening right now. I said, oh, okay, I'll go over to that, and I'll check out a little bit. And so I'm watching that, and I was, okay, that went fine. I go back to the game, and the Cardinals are celebrating. I thought, what the heck just happened here? So,
that happened to me with the Music City Miracle. Because I'm down in the basement watching, and then, you know, I got, you know, my wife is saying, come on, I got 4 kids, they're all ready to eat, come on, let's go. And I said, all right, game's, they're kicking off, and like, all right, I'll come up. I go upstairs, and then I come back downstairs after dinner, and I went, wait, what did the Titans just do? What happened here? So I've missed a couple of those moments before. I missed the Oklahoma-Boise State finish in the Fiesta Bowl when they had the Statue of Liberty play. Yeah, I missed that one. Yeah, Paul. You know, you got to beat the traffic.
I was going to a sports bar to meet a bunch of guys in college to watch the Chris Webber game, the NCAA final game, Michigan versus North Carolina, and I parked haphazardly, and my car was towed when I left. So I didn't actually miss it, but I remember walking out after a great game, like, what a game that was. I'll go to my car, and it's gone. So I got towed.
NCAA relocating the 2021 Division I Men's Basketball Championship sites. Now, rounds one and two are all over the place, but are they trying to centralize this point?
Yeah, Dan, usually, you know, it'll be the first round will be in Dayton and Albuquerque and Tacoma, Washington. That's not going to happen, according to the NCAA, for Division 2021 basketball. As a result, according to the release, the NCAA staff is in preliminary talks with the state of Indiana and the city of Indianapolis to potentially host the entire 68-team tournament around the metropolitan area during the coordinated dates of March and April. Mm. That would mean the entire three-week NCAA tournament would be in Indianapolis, Indiana, possibly, in talks. But it will not be west, east, north, southeast, all that kind of stuff like the old days.
Isn't there a college basketball tournament that's going to be played up at one of the casinos in Connecticut?
Yeah, I think in a week and a half.
How many teams are going to be in the bubble? Is that like Mohegan Sun, and you're going to have like 30 teams that are going to be in the bubble there playing college basketball? And it starts relatively soon? I remember seeing just the headline. Have you guys seen anything on that? Or am I just making it up? Yes.
Indy is a good NCAA tournament town, though.
Yeah, it is. They do a great job.
They do a great job.
They did a great job with the Super Bowl because you're able to, everything's downtown. You can walk to everything. I thought that what they did with the Super Bowl was great. Yes, McLovin.
I can't wait to see all those returning stars in the sport next year, like that guy, Bill.
And then that guy, Tom.
I might not know a player in the sport now.
Yes, Tom.
Yeah, for early season tournaments, over 30 college basketball teams are expected to play in the Mohegan Sun bubble.
That's incredible. And that's next week? Your microphone always makes it better radio.
I have to check on the exact date, but this was a story back in late October saying they were finalizing plans to host more than 30 basketball teams as it becomes a modified bubble for several early season tournaments, including two moved from New York.
What could happen with a bunch of college kids at a casino for a week and a half? I mean, I would have been dead.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to have 30 teams bubbled in Connecticut at the casino, I'm guessing. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow. An update on Drew Brees' injury, an update on Teddy Bridgewater's injury. That's coming up. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I don't care what Todd says. I think the callers have been great today. Best and worst of the weekend.
Wow.
Oh, now you're going to laugh at the callers. I think they've done a great job.
They have. They stepped up.
Yeah.
For lack of guests, we needed them to step up.
Barring an injury, Kyler Murray is a lock to set a new high for rushing touchdowns by a quarterback in a single season. The most coming into this season, Cam Newton with 14. That was 2011. Kyler Murray already has 10. I know we love to do this every Monday. Who's the MVP? I still look at... You know, Russell Wilson, with what he's done, although the last couple of weeks he's not looked good at all. And he forced a couple of throws yesterday. And, you know, you can't have red zone picks. Aaron Rodgers is in there, obviously. Patrick Mahomes is in there. I know that if you want to put Kyler Murray in there, that's great. You know, fine. At this point of the season, go ahead. It just feels like this is a... I don't know. It gives us something to talk about week to week. But you got guys who ride, like Josh Allen. I don't know if he's an MVP candidate. It felt like that was being forced upon us in the early going. He's a good quarterback, talented quarterback. He surprised me. Kyler Murray is a lot of fun to watch. If Kyler Murray doesn't win the game yesterday, then he's not an MVP candidate, right? So because of DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray is, what, one of the top three MVP candidates? If Josh Allen wins that game, is Josh Allen then higher than Kyler Murray? I mean, it almost feels like it's play to play. It's week to week, but we have these rankings. And I never remember doing this. I don't know when this happened, where we needed to tell you who the MVP was. I know we do power rankings, and that's fine. But... it feels like week to week, we got to have a referendum on who's the MVP. Yeah, Paul.
Social media posts the MVP by odds every Monday and Tuesday because you can get new bets on them. So they're a lot more out there and accessible. Right now, the odds as of this morning, Patrick Mahomes is the favorite to win the MVP, just a bit over Russell Wilson, then Aaron Rodgers, then the next tier is Kyler Murray by himself, and then it drops big time to Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger.
I would put Roethlisberger up there a little bit higher because I'm talking about value. Now, sometimes, you know, we vote and say the best player in the sport. Well, that's not the case, because if you said who's the best player in the sport, Aaron Donald should be in the top three voting the last couple of years. It's the best quarterback in the league. But then most valuable, if I put somebody else on Kansas City, are they still a great team? Probably so. If Kyler Murray's not on Arizona, what kind of team do you have there? You know, so when you start to do that with interchangeable parts, and then you're trying to say, well, who's more valuable to their team? There are more valuable players to a team. There are players that are more valuable league-wise, where you look at they're the best at their position. Patrick Mahomes is the best at his position. Is that meaning that he's the MVP this year? But he already had his MVP. Lamar Jackson got his MVP. Now we're looking for the new story. Well, the new story is Kyler Murray. But you have to make the playoffs. I don't think he's going to be in the MVP conversation if they don't win the MVP. And if Russell Wilson and Seattle wins that division and he's still putting up, you know, 45 touchdowns, he's probably going to be the MVP because he hasn't been the MVP before. Or Ben Roethlisberger has not been the MVP before. I don't think he's received an MVP vote. But you're talking about value coming back from surgery and the team is undefeated. I would have thought he would have been given a little bit more credit because of that. They're a different team when he's there. You know, when Mason Rudolph is in there or Duck Devlin, it's a whole lot different. And there's value attached to that with Ben. Maybe you don't have the big numbers, the gaudy numbers, but value, you know, he deserves to be in the top five, in my opinion. Yeah, Paul.
Aaron Rodgers' projected numbers, 4,600 yards, 46 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
Yeah. Gibbs in Virginia is back. Hey, Gibbs.
What's going on, Dan P? I just want to get this out of the way. McLovin, do you have anything snarky to say while I'm on the line? Or are you going to wait till I hang up?
Wait, who's your college football team?
Carolina.
Oh, okay. Coastal
and,
Carolina?
And we give him all Carolina. Like all Carolinas.
No. Hold on.
He gets South Carolina, North Carolina, NC State.
Dan, don't do that. No, Carolina is UNC. I have a best investor, but McLovin, are you out of the way?
We're good, buddy. I'll call you if there's a portico that needs some litigation.
Oh, wow. Hey, you're the man. Best is Mike Tomlin becoming the all-time winningest African-American NFL head coach. He's from the 757, born in Hampton, went to college at William & Mary, so props to him. He got a shout-out from Tony Dungy over the weekend. And I want to ask Paulie about my heels, actually. Does he feel better or worse about Sam Howell's chances of reaching the Heisman finalist, being that Carolina's defense has given up 50 points a game?
Paulie, I think you're all in on Carolina's quarterback, aren't you?
He's pretty tough.
Yeah.
He's a thick dude, not too tall. He looks like a 2.0 Chase Daniel.
Ooh.
Which is a compliment.
Oh, it is. Bears Vikings tonight.
Bum, 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 bum.
No, I can't even do that. Doesn't it feel like it's going to be 25-19? Like it's just going to be crooked scores there. And I got Kirk D. Cousins handing the ball off to Dalvin Cook. Yeah, McLovin.
Remember that year that Adrian Peterson ran for 2,000 yards and carried the Vikings to the playoffs? He won the MVP that year.
Yeah.
Any chance Dalvin Cook can do enough to get in that conversation?
Now, these quarterbacks have such gaudy numbers. And the Vikings aren't good. Now, if you say, well, he's carrying them into the playoffs, okay, maybe. The days of a running back, the days of somebody other than a quarterback winning the MVP feel like they're long, long gone. Jeremy in Wisconsin. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, good morning, DP. Thank you for taking my call. So I have two bests
okay.
for the weekend. And on my first, I'm going to kind of flip the script. because I know I'm sure when you had Nick Faldo on earlier, especially perhaps Tiger's 10 on 12 would have been a worst. But my first best is him following up that score with birdieing five of his next six holes to finish his Masters. That's, I think, pretty strong. And my second best is the Packers locking up our boy David Bakhtiari on an extension. That's pretty huge as well. Now we just need Titletown Brewery or maybe Hinterland to sign him for a long-term deal to slam some of their brew.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. The Packers, that was one of those. Who do the Packers play next? Because it felt like they were going, oh, we got Jacksonville. We got a scrimmage with Jacksonville coming up on Sunday. And then we have a real game coming up the following weekend. Because I'm watching that game and I'm going, guys, Jacksonville doesn't know that they're not supposed to be competing with you. Yes, McLovin.
They go to Indy for their next game next week.
Right. I don't know if you're looking ahead to that one, but it certainly felt like they were going, yeah, I've got Jacksonville. Should be able to finish this one up by around 2:15. All right, let's go around the room what we learned on the program. And McLovin, the final results of the poll question that you found the results shocking an hour ago.
So last time it was like 50.43 to 49.63. Now it's a clean 50-50. Who do you want to see next year, Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston? Or not next year, the rest of the season.
Yeah, so Drew Brees has a rib contusion, and so I don't know. That feels like he should be able to play. Teddy Bridgewater, no structural damage with his knee, with his MRI, according to Chris Mortensen. Todd, what did you learn today?
Playing the Broncos, Jets, and Bengals next two, and the Dolphins could find themselves 9-3 in the coming weeks.
McLovin.
Sure seems like Jameis Winston is the backup quarterback in New Orleans.
Yeah, it does. Seton O'Connor.
Nick Faldo adding American whiskey to the repertoire there.
Yeah. Paulie?
I'm really glad nobody took me up on my Masters Dustin Johnson bet. Mm.
The last 8 years, there have been eight different MVPs in the NFL. What we learned brought to you by 1-800-Flowers. They can deliver the flowers, the feel of Thanksgiving, beautiful bouquets and arrangements to order. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio icon. Enter code Patrick. Once again, Todd didn't think the calls were great today.
No, okay.
I did. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. We'll try to do better tomorrow right here on the Dan Patrick Show.